Today's message is called Real Life Ministry is Abundant and Requires Faith. And what I wanted to mention is we're going to be talking about generosity today. And this is going to be like a part two or almost a part three of the messages that we have been seeing in the last few weeks. So if you have missed last week specifically, make sure you watch that in our YouTube channel. Because there is, like I say, this is like at the second part, and everything will make sense once you watch both messages. Last week, Dave talked about generosity in this focus, that generosity is always being able to trust. And what happens when you are generous? What happens on the other side? So he talked about how the church handles money, how the church handles all the tithing and all the offering and what happens, and specifically here with NBC, so you can be trustworthy of everything that we do here, because he did mention that one of the biggest problems in churches today is how they handle money, and that can become an issue for a lot of churches. A lot of churches, you know, have gone in the wrong direction because of that. So he did mention that. So anyways, today's passage, we're going to be talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it's going to be verses 6 through 15. If you don't have a Bible, there is a Bible in front of you. If you do have a Bible on your phone, I want to mention the following. I'm going to be using the New Living Translation. Usually we use ESV, but just for clarification, it's hard enough sometimes to understand my my accent. So we're going to be using New Living Translation, and that's what I have here. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. And we're going to go to the first point. We're going to say, faith gives even when it feels risky, even when it feels risky. Why are we talking about this? Is because, again, to be able to be a person of generosity, which is going to be the focus of today. Last week was about what happens when you're generous, what happens on the other side. And we were able to learn that we can trust the church and God of what he's doing with those resources. So now Paul goes into a portion, a message for the church of Corinth. And he's trying to, now that he told how we handle money, now he's trying to encourage people to be generous. Now, part of being generous is the following, is something that God wants to do in all of us. Okay, so keep that in mind. This is not about the tithes. This is not about specifically for that. This is about how much you trust God. And God wants us to be generous. We serve a God that is very generous, that he was very gracious to us, that he gave his son for us, that he, you know, everything that we need, he always supplies. So we have a God that is very generous, but there is a purpose for that too, that we can reflect God and we can also be generous. So in these regards, is faith gives even when it feels risky. Let me read, and I'm sorry, I have verses 5 and 6. It's actually verses 6 and 7. But let me read what Paul is saying. He's saying, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Maybe you have read, I mean, you have heard that before, especially that portion at the end. But look what Paul is trying to say. He goes into a subject that maybe everybody is aware. He's talking about a farmer and the process to be able to plant seeds and what happens with those seeds. Now, let me tell you why I got to the conclusion, or let me tell you how I got there. But this passage is not only about money, okay? It's about a virtue, a disposition that God wants to put in your heart, about being generous. And generous can be with time. Generous can be with resources. So it can also be financial. But generous also can be with the gift that we have received from God. So it's not only about financial, but it's more about you being generous. So Paul uses the image of a farmer. And look what the farmer, hearing this, what Paul is saying, will understand. The farmer will understand that what leaves his hands is not lost, is planted. Maybe to all of us, when we plant a seed, a person that maybe doesn't know much about that process, it seems like a loss, like you're losing everything that you have on your hands, like you're planting these seeds. But a farmer, or even us, we understand that there is a process, and it's not something that is being lost, it's something that is being planted, okay? And that is going to bring fruits of what you're doing. So as we continue to be Christians, don't look at it as being generous, as something that is being taken away from you, something that you're going to be losing. Actually, we need to change the focus. And once we change the focus, we understand what God is trying to do. He's not trying to take something away from you. What he's trying to do is he's trying to plant something that at the perfect time, in God's time, will bring fruit, or will bring what he's trying to accomplish with that. Paul says God desires people who give because they trust him. I think this is the main point of this illustration. He's not, and maybe you notice this in the passage. He's not saying, oh, if you want to give, or you should give. What he's saying on the passage is when you give. So Paul already has the expectations that whoever is hearing this knows that God wants you to be something that is a person that is a giver, that is generous with what he gives. And then on the passage, he's saying, when you're trying to give, trust God in the process. Sometimes, I don't know if this happens to you, but when I see a generous person, not somebody that gives for obligation, or not somebody that gives the extra of what they have, but somebody that is really doing an effort. And look, Paul is not mentioning an amount or a percentage here, okay? Paul is, again, trying to say when you give is a disposition of the heart. So how is your heart? Are you giving in a way that you're trusting God? And to be able to do that is to know that the more seeds you plant, the better the results you're going to get. The better the fruit is going to be on its time. So that is what Paul is trying to say, is don't think about losing. Don't think about that, you know, you're planting and nothing is going to happen. Trust God in the process, okay? And just know that if you do it in such a way with the right heart, that at the right time, God is going to produce the fruit, the results that he's looking for. So when we trust God, it's not only, again, what we have to give because we have extra. It's actually when we give, and we're trusting God in that portion that He's going to bless what we give, and He's going to supply our needs as well. You know? So that's why Jesus, when Jesus went to the temple, I don't know if you remember this story, but Jesus went to the temple and He saw a lady that gave only a few of money considered to us. And then Jesus said, she is trusting God. She's giving everything that she has. Imagine just a few coins to be able to survive. And she is pleasing God. She's putting a smile on God's face because she's trusting God with everything that we have. I'm going to be completely honest. I could tell so many stories of God's generosity specifically connected or related to NBC. I have people, you know, being generous with time, being generous with resources. I have been blessed by that. I also have seen, you know, people giving, for example, you know, a few weeks ago, there was a real need of somebody that was needing a car and had no resources to be able to get one. And somebody from NBC stepped up and gave, not sell, but gave his car to this person that was in a real need. And we do have a generous church. But my encouragement today is to continue to trust God in the level that you are. Okay? Paul, again, is not talking about an amount. He's not talking about specifically financial, but it's a disposition of the heart. And to be able to trust God on what He's requesting from all of us. Okay? So it might feel risky to all of us, but if you change your chip on the focus, then you're able to understand that if God is requesting that from you, it's because He has a purpose, not only with that person, but only with you. And He is going to supply the needs also that you may have. So don't give what you have extra. That's why we always say on the tithes, and the money that you might give to us, we are simply a person that manages what God gives us, and we should put God first, especially when we give back to Him. That's part of trusting God. That's part of the faith that we require from Him. So faith gives even when it feels risky. Let me read the next passage, which is faith trusts God's ability to replenish. To replenish. Verse 8 says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seeds for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gift to those who need them, they will thank God. Okay, let me make a quick break or parenthesis here. We're not talking about prosperity. You know, some churches say, oh, the more you give, the more God is going to bless you. And yes, that is true. But then the focus is, if you give, that will be the only way that God is going to be able to bless your life, okay? So we're not talking about, again, trying to force God to be able to be generous with us by the actions that you take. It's to be able to understand that He already gave. Look what He says. I love about this is the language that He's using. So notice the language. In verse 8, it says, God is able. In verse 10, he says, God supplies the seed, which you know, it goes back to the sentence that he is the one that supplies. We're only managing the resources of the things that he's given to us. Is he saying, you as a farmer, where are you getting your seeds from? Is God the one that is giving the seeds so you can plant them? So God, you think that your job is the one that is providing for the life that you have? No, it's God that provided that job so you can provide for your needs and also to be able to be generous with your lifestyle, okay? So God is the one that provides the seeds. And God is the one that multiplies the seeds. In verse 10, and God enriches you. So again, the focus is not on me or the actions that I might take or how wise I am or, to be able to manipulate the situation. God is the one that does everything. We're only a tool on his hands. So he provides the seeds, he multiplies the seeds, and he is the one that, with the fruits of that, is able to enrich us and enrich others that are around us. So that's the beauty of what that is doing. So the focus isn't on the giver's resources, but rather the focus is on God's resources, on what he is doing with that disposition of your heart that we were talking to. Maybe you struggle in this area. I don't know. But every time I see somebody that is generous, I wish I could be more generous like that person. Everybody wants to be generous. It's not like, oh no, I don't want to be. But it's sometimes that's what it takes, is the faith that requires to be able to give that. And in the process, you know who's being benefited too? It's also us. As we continue to trust God, he's also transforming our lives. He's also doing this discipleship process in all of us. He's putting his heart, the way that he is, how he is, in all of us, to a point that maybe you might do something that another person might say, you're crazy. You know, somebody from my family, when I became a Christian, talking about, 15, 20 years ago, and I started to work on the ministry as a volunteer, he approached me, and he said, he's somebody that is in Colombia, but he approached me and he said, you know, Andres, that Christianity thing is really good. Everybody will come and give 10%. We should do a church so that we can, basically take advantage of how everything is. If he only knew what it means to be able to do that. Some people may look at it from the outside and may say, but what? You're doing that? And you know what God is looking? He's looking at your heart. And he is in a process of transforming that heart and the way that you act and the way that you are. So when we give generously, to other people may seem crazy. For God, it's a delight. For God is, again, I love that expression, just putting a smile on God's face. Imagine that he's looking there and you're struggling. God, I know you asked for this. And allow me to trust you in this decision to be able to be more generous. Just think on God, just looking in the heavens, just with a big smile. First of all, telling us, trust me in this situation. And by the way, I don't know, which is part of what it amazed me. I see some people that are very open-handed with what they have. And God blesses them in such a way that you are like, God, why are you blessing that person that much? And you know why? It's because he is very generous. God, you know, if he knows that one person is generous and that he's going to put the resources that he's receiving from God into a purpose that he already has, of course, God is going to continue to bless that person. I don't know if you heard the story before, but that's something that impacted me when I was trying to trust God in this area. This is the CEO of Colgate. That's how you say it? Colgate. He told God, I'm going to be giving my tithing. And as you know, that brand started to grow, like every year he will give like, I don't know, a couple of more percentage, to a point that everything that he was getting, like 95%, was giving it to God and the tithes, and he was only living with the 5%. And, you know, what he had, that 5%, was way more and sufficient for everything that he gave. And, you know, God bless that person because he was very generous. So as you trust God, I don't know, maybe if you were from my country, from Colombia, we tell the people that are not generous, like, you know, we always have this expression. We kick the elbow right here because sometimes we need to kick here so that they can open the hand, right? So that's whenever you see this, is that expression. It's like somebody's very tight with the money, with the resources, and, you know, they're hiding everything. But to be able to receive more from God in your hands, you need to be able to let go. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to receive more. And again, it's not about prosperity. We're not only necessarily talking only about finances. It's about the resources and the thing that God is doing in your heart. But as far as the trust, it's just to be able to understand who is the one that provides, which is God. So are we trusting God or are we trusting our work, our job, you know, the resources that we may have in a bank or the things that we may have, you know, working on the side? Are we really trusting God? And are we able just to know that He's God, that He's the one that provides? So maybe if you are struggling with that, just know this. If God says it on His word, God is able to be trustworthy. If He's telling us that He's the one that gives and provides and even to replenish, is to be able to say, God, I trust you in this process. I know that you're working through me, and it feels risky. And I don't know, because what I'm giving is something that I may, you know, might be even more. But I know that the God that provides also multiplies and is going to enrich us in the process as well. Look at this. Generosity grows when we trust God, not when we accumulate more. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled what by the world has to offer. I met a person a few years ago, maybe like, I don't know, 6 years ago. And there was this art that was a digital art that became really famous. I think they're called EFTs, if I'm not mistaken. And look how silly this is. Somebody start painting some monkeys. And they made the monkeys like a piece of art that was digital. So you don't even have, you know, the thing. And he purchased a monkey like for $200, $300. And then in 6 months, that picture, that digital piece of art, became $70,000. And then when he was telling me this, I'm like, this world is crazy. What is happening right now? He showed me the monkey. the monkey was like a rap monkey. He had all these crazy things and amazing. And you know what happened is some people that had a lot of money, even some athletes, I think some people from the Warriors also got into this, and they start purchasing this digital art and start to drive the price up. And when I saw that, I told him, please sell that and purchase a house, something that you can have, you know, something that, and he goes, no, I'm going to sell it because there is more monkeys. I can buy 2 or 3 more monkeys with this money and be able to. Don't be fooled by what the world has to offer. At that moment, he could have, it was the pandemic, so he could have taken that money away and give it as a down payment in this area to be able to purchase a house and provide for his family. He purchased more monkeys. And then that price went from 70,000 back again, all the way down. And then 1 year later, everything that he was putting his hope on, everything that he was so excited, everything that seemed so perfect on his plan, ended up on being something, a missed opportunity, you know? So be careful with, this world is very volatile. And, you know, especially on these days, you never know what is going to happen. So don't put your trust in what you have, on trying to accumulate more, on trying to make more money. Generosity is not about when you have more, I'm going to be generous with what I have. God, if you bless me with this, I'm going to be able to now, you know, now start tithing. If you're able to provide in this area. No, generosity starts with what you have right now. It's a process to trust God. It's not about the transaction. It's not about, you know, the money on the financial things. It's about trusting God and knowing that He will supply for everything. Instead of trusting the world, trust God in what He's doing. Okay, let me go to the last one. It says, faith sees generosity as worship. Faith sees generosity as worship. Let's read the passage that we're in from verse 12. And it says, so good things will result from the ministry of giving. So now Paul is going to say, if you're generous, this is the result. So this is what is going to happen. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So a couple of things with the people that are receiving. One of them is that the needs will be met. And number two is that they're going to be able to glorify God, which, by the way, do it with that heart. When you are being generous, do it with the expectation of not receiving the praise back. What you're doing is you're basically managing God's resources. Okay? So do it with the expectation that they will be able to glorify God. Okay? Because if you give and you're expecting something back, you're going to be disappointed. You know? So, God, I'm doing this because I'm trusting you. I'm doing this because I want to be able to, you know, be obedient with what you're asking. And that's it. You know, if you receive thanks, if you receive something, you know, praise God. But don't do it with that intention. Oh, I'm going to give so that they can say that I'm a very generous person. Which is what Jesus always went against when he was here. The appearance on the outside. Do it because God is the one that sees your intentions. And your intentions is to be able to supply for the need and to for them, the people that are being met, the needs are being met, they're going to glorify God. Verse 13, it says, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them, and to all believers will provide that you're obedient to God's news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. And look at what the verse 15 says. Thank God for these gifts, too wonderful for words. Look how Paul closes this thing. He is now praising God. So not only needs are being met, not only they are praising God, but now the giver is the one that also praises God and worships God. So faith sees generosity as an act of worship. Paul describes something bigger than meeting the needs. It's part of it, but it's something way bigger than that. If you're trying to look at it that way, if you only focus on the needs, then again, you're going to be disappointed. Focus on what God is trying to do. Because even if you're a little bit generous, but you do it with the right intention, then God is going to be able to be worshiped. You know, and people are going to be able to thank God for your lives. So the three things: needs are being met, God received the thanksgiving, and God is glorified. Generosity becomes visible proof that Jesus has changed us. So I don't know, but again, if you talk to me 25 years ago before knowing Christ, and you will say, you know, you in the future, in 25 years, you're going to be doing this, I wouldn't believe that person. But eventually, what God is trying to do in us, he's trying to transform our hearts. And in such a way that you'll be surprised too, of the things that he's doing through you. So it is a visible proof that God is in that process, that he's changed us. What will change in your life if you truly believe God is able to provide everything that you need? So part of this message is to encourage you. Part of this message is for you to continue to trust God. But part of this message and my prayer is that you can put it into action. You can be obedient. I always say a message is not done until we put it all into action. So again, so think about now yourself. Think about in your heart, what will change in your life if you truly believe God is able to provide everything that you need? Some of the worry that we might have at the end of the month is not going to be a worry anymore. Because we know the God that we serve. Because we know the God that always provides. So as we continue in that process. So let me leave you with this. Because generosity is not ultimately about what leaves your hand. It's about how much you trust God holding your future. So the things that God is doing in all of us, in this process, what he's trying to transform with all of us is that we become less about ourselves, that we're not this with this center of the universe being ourselves, that when we think about situations that are happening in our lives, we stop thinking about ourselves, but rather that we change the focus and we start trusting God with your present and with your future again. You are in good hands. Continue to trust God, because not only he's worthy, but he will make sure that he continued to demonstrate his love as he continued to live into us and as we continue to give to others as well. So as we close this, I want you to go with this in your heart. God, why this message? Why I had to come here to church today? I should be in camping with you're in the perfect place. God is trying to do something in your heart. God is trying to change us. Continue to trust God in that process and continue to know that generosity is something that God is doing in your heart as well. So I want to invite you to close your eyes right now. And we're going to put everything on God's hands. And dear God, as we continue to pay attention to what you're trying to tell us, as we continue to trust you with every decision that we make, and I understand, God, that maybe some people that are here today are struggling, that maybe they're not sure what the future is going to hold, that maybe they're in the middle of making a decision of trusting you for the future, that maybe, you know, they're in the process of just being obedient. Will you bring peace to their hearts as they continue to put their eyes in you, as they continue to walk in such a way that they want to always worship you? Allow us to have more faith, increase our faith in everything that is happening, not only in our financial decisions, but also with our lives decisions, that you have everything under control, that there is not a leaf that falls from a tree if it's not your will. That we know that we serve a God that, you know, is able to provide everything that we need. And a God that is worthy of trusting and putting our lives in your hands. Will you allow us to do that today? Will you allow us to continue to trust you? And it's not about how good I am with businesses, or how good I am with talking or even manipulating people, but to continue to change us. And it's all about you. Allow us to trust you. Allow us to continue to not only the trust for our future, but continue to be obedient to the things that you want to do in all of us. Maybe there is some people here that are trying to make financial decisions. Maybe some people that have heard this and continue to hurt, and they just need to take a step of faith. And as they continue to take that step of faith, may you bless their lives as they continue to be obedient to what you're calling them to. May you bless their lives in everything that they do. God, you are our God, and we are not. We love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.